He went out the night before. He went out with his friends. I gave him some money. They got a pizza. He came home that morning. He'd ate his breakfast. And then he went up to his room. And I was up and down all day. Because that's what I used to do. You know, do you want a coffee? Do you want this? Do you want that? Do you want a sandwich? And then I was up there in the afternoon. I saw him 20 minutes before. And I tapped him on the head. And I went, you all right? Yeah. Now I came down and made Sunday dinner. And in 20 minutes, he committed suicide. And I know it was because of his GCSEs. I saw the changes in him. And I told Daniel at the time, it's just a piece of paper. You can always resit your GCSEs.
What sorts of signs did you see that, you know, he was becoming really stressed and struggling?
Because I come home from work and he was sat at the kitchen table rocking. And I said to him, how long have you been at that table? And he wouldn't answer me. Up until that point, I wasn't allowed to have the telly on. And I wasn't allowed to have the washing machine on if he was in the kitchen. But that day when he was rocking, that's when I knew. I knew that it had gone too far. And I said to him, right, you're going to pack your stuff up now. I says, because you've been rise for so long that you're actually not learning anything. And Daniel wasn't at all aggressive, but he literally picked the kitchen table up with all his school books on it and threw it in the air. It just went up in the air. And I knew then, you know, he was a kid that always went on his Xbox. I had to tell him to go on his Xbox, you know, get on it, get on your phone, do something, anything, but then revise. He couldn't get in his head to revise one subject. He'd be revising all the subjects. Even on the half term, they got asked to go into school, revision half term. He really wanted me to sign that paperwork and say he was prepared to come in and do more revision. He didn't need to do any more revision. That was the point when he was rocking at the table. I could see the changes and I tried everything.
As a parent, can you just even begin to sum up what it's like to lose a child in that way?
Guide. Truly. If Daniel was poorly, like as in, you know, if he had a life, you know, like if he had cancer, would it have been any easier? Do you know, because you've got time with that person to say goodbye. To find him like I did. And it's just the most, because you just think about it 24/7. You go to bed and that image is the last thing you see. Then you wake up in the morning and for the first 5 minutes you think everything's normal. And then boom, you know. And people say it gets easier as time goes on, but it doesn't. It gets worse. For me, it gets worse because it's longer that I've seen him. It is your worst nightmare, and then treble it a million times. I wouldn't wish this on my worst enemy. But then, you know, since this has happened and people have got in touch with me, Daniel's not the only one. A teenager shouldn't feel pressured like that. He had everything to live for. Everything. If I'd known, because I didn't know that Daniel told him that. I did not know that he told the two teachers that he had knots in his stomach. I didn't know that. But school should have told me. I strongly believe that.
Do you think things maybe could have been different if, you know, there was some sort of process in place or if they had reached out to you?
I've always said, I think the outcome would have been the same. But that's not the point, really. They should have rung me. Daniel was too fixated at that point. He was just too fixated. He was a perfectionist. It had to be done. I mean, Daniel was so close to, you know, Adam, Bracken, George, Jamie. They were closer than, they were like brothers. And they can't believe it. They cannot believe that Daniel didn't tell them. You know, he was out with them the night before. And they all said he didn't say nothing. He was laughing, he was joking.
I suppose that goes to show that you can have, you know, a good support network around you and still just feel that that's the only option.
Yeah, I mean, I've got a close support network. Since this has happened, I've got people all around me. But I sort of understand how Daniel feels because it's not enough. Do you know what I mean? I sort of understand how he feels. I've got, like, so many friends up here. They've all helped me, but it's not enough. So I sort of understand where Daniel come from. And that is hurtful. Because sometimes I still feel alone. And I'm not, you know. So now I understand how Daniel feels. Exactly how he feels. And I feel sorry for him because I just think he's 15. You know, he honestly thought he didn't have anyone at 15. And, you know, and indeed, he had everyone.
You've said that, you know, you were just making dinner as normal and you had no idea that was going to happen. Do you think you'll ever come to terms with that?
No, because what, we're on 7 months on and I still pretend he's here. I pretend that, so I started going back to work. So when I'm at work, I still have to pretend he's out with his friends. When I come home from work, I pretend that he's upstairs in his bedroom. I know my heart is not coming back, I know that, but my brain just won't process it. So I just, to get through the day, I pretend that he's still here. I have to, because that's the only way I can deal with things.
You're trying to sort of get a bit of a positive out of this, I suppose, by raising awareness of, you know, mental health.
So I couldn't even say the word suicide or anything. So I knew that there was a stigma because I couldn't talk about it. So I just thought, right, if I'm going to do this, I need to share my story. So that's why I put it out in the public. And the amount of people that got in touch with me and said that they were worried about their children's, you know, that are going to sit their exams next year. And I just thought, that's even, you know, we're only in, what, October? Their exams don't start till May, and they're already stressing about it. I just couldn't believe it. I could not believe the amount of people that got in touch with me.
How worrying is it to you that there's that amount of parents out there who, I suppose, are feeling maybe how you did this time last year, you know, when Daniel was revising? Are you concerned that this kind of thing could happen again?
It will happen again. Daniel was a statistic, and I feel sorry for the parents and the children that are about to sit their exams, because in the inquest, the teacher said that the exams were to get harder. And I just thought, we're just setting them up to fail before they even start. But then I understand that the teachers get pressured then from the people above.
Do you think that's part of it, is, you know, getting into schools and making sure there is support there for kids who...
I'd like to get at least 2 counsellors in a school, because at the minute they've only got one. And that is like, that's one in one, that's one in 4 or 5 academies. And how many kids is there in one academy? There's over 1,000. And I'd like to see if we can put like a teacher on some sort of training course, just to spot a sign. I mean, talking to another parent whose daughter was supposed to have counselling, she got referred to the bottom of the list because another child was more needed counselling more than she did. So she was pushed back down the pile. I'd hate for another child to go through what he's done, to just end their life when they had so much to live for.
How will you remember Daniel as a person?
I'll remember Daniel as Little Legs, because he didn't have little legs. His nickname was Danny Long Legs because he was so tall. But to me, it was always Danny Little Legs. Man of the house, because that's what he was, because it was just me and Daniel that lived at home. Just a clown, really. Joking all the time. I'd remember him outside, tapping on the glass with like a Freddy Krueger mask on, and I'd like, you know, jump out my skin. He was a funny kid. He was a well-liked kid. He's really, really missed by everyone. When I see Daniel's friends outside, there's always that tall, lanky one that's not there. He was about 6'4". So, yeah, I'll just remember him as being funny, having the heating on at 30 degrees when he's coming from work. Cats would be dehydrated. I'd be passing out as I walked through the door and he'd be sat there with just his boxer shorts on. Yeah, he was a good kid. That's how I'll remember him.